Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. Whether you are here with us in worship or you are worshiping with us online, it is good that we are together as we continue this season after Pentecost and continue to add our praise and prayer to the one who loves us so deeply. We have Sunday school bags in the back for children. If there are children here or if there are children going to visit your house, we have Sunday school bags. But more importantly, we have Sunday school for those kids as well, beginning after this service upstairs. So if they're not here, you can always make sure that you bring them by, because we have Sunday school for those kids in between services. Another announcement I have is that the Thrift Shop Coat Drive is coming soon. Soon and very soon. Saturday, October 9th. It's a little earlier than it has been in the past, but that's okay. Obviously, we need coats to help warm our neighbors in need. We also need people. People who can help set things up on Friday the 8th, as well as help with the distribution on the 9th. Look at your calendars. Mark those calendars. Look for things. I will give you more information, and there will be more information available in the newsletter and the bulletin. But that is Saturday, October 9th for the Thrift Shop Coat Drive. This coming Thursday, the 16th of September at 8 in the morning, I will be, I believe it's Cutson Border Field. Yes, I got that name right. Yes, there we are. There will be at that field a field of crosses bearing names of servicemen who have given their lives for their country. And on that Thursday morning, there will also be the Mobile Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. I will be doing the opening prayer at 8 o'clock that morning. So if you are able, you are more than welcome. I know that some of you will be in school and all the rest of those kinds of things. But 8 a.m. Thursday morning, I will be at Cutson Border Field doing the opening prayer on the first day that the Vietnam Memorial Wall will be in place. We have also spent time this weekend as a nation and as individuals remembering, commemorating the things that happened on September 11th, 2001. I invite you now to join with me in a moment of silence for those who lost their lives, those who survived, those whose lives have forever been changed. We pause. O God, our hope and refuge, in our distress we come quickly to you. Shock and horror of that tragic day have subsided, replaced now with an emptiness, a longing for an innocence lost. We come remembering those who lost their lives in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania. We are mindful of the sacrifice of public servants who demonstrated the greatest love of all by laying down their lives for friends. We commit their souls to your eternal care and celebrate their gifts to a fallen humanity. We come remembering, and we come in hope, not in ourselves, but in you. As foundations we once thought secure have been shaken, we are reminded of the illusion of security. In commemorating this tragedy, we give you thanks for your presence in our time of need, and we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth, our guide and our guardian. Amen. We gathered to worship, so I invite you to please rise as we begin our worship. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Sing to the King, and we sing together.
Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. watch and we pray. We will be ready the dawn of that day. We'll join in singing a part of redeeming. Satan is vanquished in Jesus is King. So
let us pray. O God, through suffering and rejection, you bring forth our salvation. And by the glory of the cross, you transform our lives. Grant that for the sake of the gospel, we may turn from the lure of evil, take up our cross, and follow your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The congregation may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen, and those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine, figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Gospel according to St. Mark in the 8th chapter. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angel." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week in the Gospel story, we hear Peter make a glorious proclamation. In responding to Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answers, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." Now, Messiah means God's anointed. Meshiach is the Hebrew word. Christos is the Greek word. They both mean chosen, anointed. Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are God's chosen one." Jesus had been asking the disciples what they were hearing from the people around them. And they said that those people were comparing Jesus to John the Baptist, Elijah, other prophets. You see, these people had heard Jesus' message from God. They had seen Jesus caring for widows and orphans, for the sick and the lame, for the hungry and the lost. These people see Jesus as a prophet. But Peter and the disciples, they've seen more things. They've been around. And Peter, at least, has other aspirations for Jesus. Now, when Peter said, "You are the Messiah," Jesus thought that he and the disciples were ready to hear what Messiah is really all about. Because up until that point in time, Messiah was thought of by God's people as God's chosen one who would lead God's people to overthrow their oppressors, lead them back to true worship in the temple, and rule over them in peace and equity. That was the kind of Messiah that Peter was looking for. It's the Messiah Peter had in mind when he said, "Jesus, you are the Messiah." Those were his hopes. Peter was hoping for that Messiah. Israel had been oppressed since the exile. Sometimes it had been tolerable, but mostly it wasn't. And so Peter and many others just couldn't wait for God to send the Messiah to sweep out Rome, to bring back true worship in the temple, and to rule. I also think that Peter was hoping for a cabinet post in the new administration because he'd been with Jesus for such a long time. But when Jesus speaks about the Messiah, Jesus is not talking about a conqueror or a priest or a king. Jesus is talking about the Lamb of God, the light of the world, the good shepherd willing to lay down his life for the sheep, and those sheep is us. Jesus begins telling the disciples about Messiah, and he talks about suffering, not because God is angry and demands it, but because the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, they are angry and will demand it. They will reject Jesus and the love of God that Jesus brings with him. They will kill him and try to be rid of all of it, but Jesus will rise again. This is the fate of the Messiah as Jesus tells it. It's not glory and martial music. It's not worship reform at the temple, and it's not a new king. Messiah is the one who lives for the sake of others in love. Messiah is the one willing to suffer, willing to be rejected, willing to die for our sake. And Peter is not ready for this. I don't think any of the disciples are ready for this. And so Peter rebukes Jesus. I can hear him saying, "You're wrong, Jesus. That can't be what happens. It can't be what happens because, first of all, that dashes all of Peter's hopes for the future. And second of all, it means that Jesus dies, which is a heartbreak Peter does not even want to contemplate." But Jesus turns it back on Peter, telling him that his idea of Messiah is a human delusion and that God's plan is better. God's plan is filled with love in spite of suffering, rejection, and death. God's plan is filled with love for us all. Jesus then turns to the entire crowd to give them the key to all of this. Jesus is speaking about his life and what is coming next for him. Jesus is speaking about the truth of Messiah. And he tells us that he and his life can be a true guide for our life and our living. Because if we are to be followers of Jesus, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, we follow Jesus into the world. We follow the true Messiah, learning from him the depth and the breadth and the length of God's love for all people. And so the first thing we need to do is deny. We need to deny all of our ideas about how cool it would be if God would just think more like I do. Isn't that great? Yeah, there we are. Peter thought that he had had it all figured out and was hoping that Jesus would just think like he did. Peter had it only half right. He got the title right. But Jesus is the Messiah. And it was Peter's idea that was faulty. You see, we need to deny ourselves the central place in our lives and deny that we are the center point of the entire world. We are called to deny ourselves the selfish desires and self-centered wants that fill our days. And we deny all of that in lieu of caring for neighbor, loving our enemy, bringing God's love to all around us. Now, I know that that's hard to imagine. But you see, the love of God comes to us all showing us what that can really be like. Because then we take up our cross. And we take up our cross when we are prepared to suffer on behalf of another. Now, the truth is that no one enjoys suffering. But we are called to be ready to do just that. If we need to give something for another, we get to do it. If we need to get our hands dirty helping someone, we get to do it. Taking up your cross is not putting up with an irritation in life, but it is being willing to give sacrificially, to reach out to someone in prison or sick because they are sisters and brothers. It is being willing to allow the accolades and honors to pass you by for the sake of another. Jesus shows us just how far that cross may take us in his death. And he shows us how to do even that willingly in the love of God. And so we follow Christ. The beauty is that the risen Christ goes out into the world before us. And also our Lord Jesus walks beside us leading the way. We look and we find Jesus in the least of these, our sisters and brothers. We search and discover Jesus pointing towards one who needs God's love. We get to follow God's chosen one, chosen to repair our relationship with God, chosen to bring us forgiveness, life, and salvation, chosen to be for us Lord and Savior, brother, and friend. And so we follow. You see, today Jesus is calling us all to new life in him as God's true chosen Messiah. As we live this new life in Christ, we share the love that comes to us in Jesus. Because it is that love of Jesus that fuels our gospel story today. It is that love of Jesus that guides our lives. It tames our tongues. It helps us to sustain the weary and to love our neighbor. It is that love of Jesus that calls us to deny, to take up, and to follow. And as we answer that call, we get to love this world to become more and more beautiful. Follow. Amen. Will the congregation please rise? As we remember and celebrate our baptism, let us confess our faith together using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Revealing God, you have made yourself known through bread and wine, water and word. Continue to nurture your church, that it is a place where your presence is experienced and shared. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Creating God, you brought life into being and called it good. Bring new creation to lands devastated by tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, fires, and other disasters. We pray especially for those recovering from Hurricane Ida. Restore forests and curb overflowing waters. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Protecting God, you desire all people to live in peace and safety. Provide for all who are in danger. Strengthen first responders to help meet the complex needs of others. Provide care and compassion as they face trauma themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Transforming God, you announce release to the captives and freedom to the oppressed. Break chains of discrimination and injustice. Amplify voices that go unheard and inspire us to advocate for those who are overlooked. Lord, in your mercy. Forming God, you gather this community together. Shape our communal life, that in our prayer, praise, and worship, we honor you and encourage one another. Keep our disagreements civil and increase our joy in working together. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Redeeming God, you accompany your people through every stage of life. We give you thanks for the saints who now rest in your embrace. Lord, in your mercy. Receive these prayers, O God, and those in our hearts known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I hope you have a wonderful day and a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
His hands go of my pride, giving up all my rights. Take this life and let it shine, shine, shine. Take this life and let it shine. I lay me down, I'm not my own. I belong to you. Lay me down, lay me down.
Joy to say, your will.